Amen. Hey, there is no one like our God. Amen. Man, if you can't get excited seeing songs like that, something is bad wrong with you, your believer. I'm just telling you. I mean, I'm just telling you what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about why we do what we do. Man, there is no God like our God. There is no name like Jesus. Man, what an awesome song to step into what we're talking about. Being on mission and being a missional church. Man, what an awesome thing to just even proclaim as we talk about missions. You know, you have to understand something. We really believe that God loved the world so much that He sent His only Son. We really believe that Jesus became a baby and Joseph and Mary did an incredible job of raising Him, and He grew in stature, and He grew in wisdom in front of man and in front of God. And we really believe that He lived, and He healed people of blindness, and He healed people that were crippled. And we really believe it, because don't you understand? We believe Him so much, it drives what we do. We believe that Jesus would go to the cross, and He would go to the cross, and He would bleed out, He would die, not for anything wrong that He had done, for what we had done, for our sins, for our transgressions. For the world's sins, He would go to the cross. He was without blemish. He was without shame. He was the perfect Lamb. There is no name like Jesus. There is no person like Jesus. And so we really believe as a church that He went and He died, and everything, that He literally hung on the cross, and that they made sure He was dead, and they would literally run a spear up into His side to make sure He was dead, and He would literally pour forth water and blood, and they would take down that body, and they would go and they would lay it in a borrowed tomb. And in that borrowed tomb, Jesus would literally, He would defeat hell, He would defeat the grave, He would defeat everything that stood in the way of man being in right standing with God. He would defeat those things, and the power of God would resurrect His body. He would resurrect Jesus. And Jesus would, He would literally walk among the people, and He would appear to the disciples, and He would speak peace over them. And then He would empower them to be His vessel, to take His message to the world. And here's the thing. They empower the people that they knew. The church. They passed on what they knew, what they had been taught. And it's happened through the ages, and here's the cool thing about it. Here we are, 2,000 years later, and we are still on that same mission. And we still have that same message. And so I just want you guys to understand on the front today, we're talking about we are missional as a church. I want you to understand what that means. That we really believe those things with everything that is in us, and it drives what we do. This morning it's a little cold getting here. It's a little cool outside. It's going to get colder this week. You know, the cool thing is we had people that were out in the parking lot. Just, you know, doing everything they could to make people feel welcome, to give them direction. They were being missional. They were on mission this morning. And even the cold was going to keep them back. I had an opportunity to go out and pray with our team out in the parking lot this morning. I had this guy come up, it's a cold morning. But you're helping people take steps towards Christ. And so all we got to understand is what we do with intention. There's a purpose behind that. And it's something that drives that. So if we forget, if we lose what being on mission is about, and I don't understand, let me say this, there's this mission drift. If you guys are in military, you understand the mission drift, you can set out and that's what we're doing. And all of a sudden you can get off course. And you can lose your mind and say, what did we set out to do? And maybe even in your job field or whatever it might be, there may be a mission drift where you lose sight of that. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why did we start this company? Why did we do whatever? And you forget the why behind it. And so today, we want to be real clear about why we're here at the church. Why the current church was ever even started? It was to reach people that were born from God. That's our mission. That's our passion. You know, and we didn't want to start churches and have another church that's got another corner of the community. We wanted to be a church that would reach people, and that we would be intentional about those things, and we would be passionate about those things, and we would be willing to sacrifice to do what we could to make a difference in our community and take that all the way to the ends of the earth. And so we are missional. This is who we are. One of my favorite things is whenever I see people who have given their life to Christ, and man, they come here, they heard the gospel, they responded by faith, and they say, man, I believe that Jesus loves me, I believe that Jesus has saved me. And I said, man, I want to be baptized. And I said, man, that's awesome. That you're taking steps. I said, hey, I want you to know, you're the reason we're here this year. You're the reason we planted this church. You're the reason we started this church. Jesus. All our mission is to Jesus. This is our mission, motivation right here. Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's a great commission. And I know many of you guys have heard that passage over and over and over. And I hope it never gets old. I hope that you never get bored that you forget what it's about. And that those are our marching orders as believers, as Christians, as followers of Christ. We have to be on mission. Not just going through life and kind of sprinkling a little Jesus in, hoping that, you know what, that we're good with God. Maybe we kind of be spiritual enough to maybe say that, hey, I'm a good person, you know, or I'm a good standing, but that we are on mission. And so here's our mission statement. The German church exists to reach people who are disconnected from God and leave them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's what we do. Our mission is to reach people who are disconnected from God. In other words, they never have a relationship with him. Or here's like they have drifted apart. They're the prodigal son. They're the prodigal daughter. They have been burned by church. They've been hurt by church. They're wounded. They're broken. They're mad. They're angry. They're sad. Whatever it might be, they have literally said, you know what, man, I'm distancing myself from God. And our job as a church is to reach out to them. And so outreach is what we do. Inreach is what we do. Outreach is what we do. Those who are far from God, they'll know him. Inreach is some of those people that are part of the body of Christ and have been wounded, hurt, mad, frustrated, whatever. You know, maybe they've never made relationships right with people that, you know, that claim to be believers, and it's time to do that. And so that's part of the mission. And then look at what the rest of it says, and lead them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Our job as a church is to lead people to that point. And we do that through teaching. We do that through library. We do that through serving. We lead them to follow these things that Jesus told us to do. And one is that we've been, hey, live in peace with all people as much as possible. You know, in other words, make sure that your relationships with the people around you are right. So we know that, hey, man, if I'm going to be in right standing with God, I've got to be in right standing with the people around me. There's people I've got to give, and then there's people I've got to be willing to receive forgiveness from. And so I'm going to read this passage here. This is Romans chapter 10. It says, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome. Listen to what he says. The longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I mean, that was the longing of Paul's heart. He had a missionary heart. The longing of his heart. So let me just pause for a second. Do you long for the people of your community to be saved? Do you long for the people that don't know Christ to come to know him? Does it bother you at all for the people that will breathe their last and that may not go to heaven? See, we really believe that people who don't accept Christ are they're going to experience a place called hell. Jesus believed. He talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. And so here's the thing, does it bother us as believers when we see people making bad decisions, you know, and we go, you know, I'm glad they're gone. We're good business, wherever we go, we're really students for when you walk on a ball field, you are more worried about who's going to win, who's going to lose, or you wonder about, hey, what are the conditions of their soul on? Where will this thing return you? Is it a mission field to you? When you walk into your place of work, is it just a paycheck? Are people that you work with people that just tolerate? Or do you never worry or concern yourself about, hey, what is the condition of their eternity? Where will they spend the rest of their life? In a place called hell, where we wouldn't want our worst enemy to go? A place called heaven, where there's peace. There's no more pain. There's no more sickness. There's no more tears. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with themselves. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Here Paul is saying, listen, there's some people that are trying to be good enough. They're trying to follow the law. Hey, if I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, maybe God will like me enough. Maybe God will approve of me. Maybe God will let me in. And that is not what gets us right with God. It is by grace we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so we got to get our mind around that. You know, I can't earn it. I can't be good enough. But his name, Paul Christ, does save me. Man, I want to line up with his word. I want to follow his teaching. And I want to see others come to know me. And so, drop down to verse 5 here. Salvation for everyone. It says, for Moses, right, that the lawful way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all his commands. If you mess up one, you're out. I had a young boy in the office a couple weeks ago, and I said, and we were talking, and you know what sin is? And she said, have you ever lied? And he's like, is there a mom and dad? I said, you ever think of something one year? Is there a mom and dad? Here's the thing, all of us have done those things. Have you ever listened? Have you ever covered what someone else had? Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever been envious? Have you ever been greedy? Have you ever been selfish? All those things disqualify you. We're all qualified. So, again, we have to obey all the commandments. But it says, but faith, a way of getting right with God, says, don't say in your heart, who will go to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the places of the dead to bring Christ back to life? Again, in fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare to Jesus that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. Or if by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and if by openly declaring your faith that you are saved, as the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile, everyone is everyone. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go to tell them that makes sense? That's why the scriptures say how beautiful are the things of the message that you bring, the good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. The gospel is the good news. The good news is we can be in right standing with God, not because of any merit on our part, but because of the merit that Jesus had. That He went, and man, He lived a perfect life. He went, and He bled out. He bled His precious blood out so that our sin would be atoned for. The precious blood of the Lamb covered our sins. And so the good news is by grace, God's grace, unmerited grace, we don't deserve it, but He says, hey, listen, I will give you an opportunity to be in my family with me if you accept my Son, if you receive my Son Jesus, by faith. Faith is not earning. It's not works. It's faith. And so whenever we look at that, I always go, man, that just ain't too easy. Man, God knows how He knows how we are. Man, He knows that we struggle. He knows that we're broken. He knows that we're in need of a Savior. We need someone to save us. And so here, this is our goal here at Journey is to impact the river reaches and beyond with the good news of Christ. And so one of the things we do, we try to be intentional about how we do those things. We don't try to do everything that every other church does or that anybody else does. There's some people that they're better at things than we are. And so our job is we want to kind of support them or come alongside them or invest in them in some way so that they can continue doing what they're doing. You know, and so here's the thing, we have to ask, what do we invest in? What do we do with the job? What do we improve at? And so those are the things we ask. And even how we try to be intentional about what we do. A lot of people, you know, I think sometimes we want to get shot in the blast, but I believe that a lot of times we're more effective when we're intentional. I remember years ago, just talking about threats. You know, we say, come as you are. We say, come as you are. I can't tell you how many times through the years that I've heard people say, man, I'm planning on coming to church and I don't have any nice clothes. And I was like, man, just come as you are. We need that. And so I remember years ago, we started turning church and we were reading the Bible. And I would say that, and I would tell them, hey, just come as you are, come as you are. And so every Sunday morning, I was always wearing slacks and my shirt and dress shoes. And I realized one morning, I was like, you know, my wife doesn't like iron. I don't know if y'all's wives like that. Or like iron. So we had to take things to the cleaners. But they didn't take them to the cleaners. And I was like, dude. And Lord, would you wear jeans? And I was like, I don't think I'm going to wear jeans. And she was like, I think it'll be okay. You know, and I was like, and so and I remember, I grew up in a very traditional church. That was my thing. I remember my mom told me, say, son, where are you? Don't ever preach. Well, that's fine. I broke that a long time ago. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm like, all right, so I get to church that day. And I asked someone, and they go, oh, did you ever see them? And I was like, yeah, how was Trump? I'm going to be honest with you. And they said, you really mean what you said, because it comes to your heart. So that's okay. And I was like, going, yeah. So what they were saying, they said, you know what, your mom is what you claim. And I was saying one thing to do with another. So I'm just telling you, be intentional about that. I don't want anybody to ever say, man, I want to go to church, I feel like I have to close to go there. There's too many people that miss church, and miss not to hear the gospel, and they probably have closed. I remember leading a guy from the Lord years ago when I was in college, and man, I said, I want you to go to church with me. I let him just watch the Lord by the breakfast table on Saturday morning. I said, I want you to go to church with me this morning. He said, oh, no, I can't go to church, I don't have any clothes for you. I said, no, no, you can come, just as you are. And he's like, no, and he went, and they had to go get a thrift store. He showed him, you know, old clothes and old suits, and I was like, man, you look better than what you had and what you had on right now. But he was trying to fit in when he thought people would accept him. And so see, I can tell you, you come as you are, and we want to have a mentality of acceptance here. We want people to feel like when they walk through the door, you're accepted. It's not based on what you look like, how you dress, what your socioeconomic background is. But our thing is, you know what, God created you. He valued you. He wants a relationship with you. And we want to say, we want to love you. We want to lead you to Christ within, and we want to lead you to become a faithful follower of Christ. He'll change if you think that he's changed from the inside out. Man looks from the outside. And so that's kind of been our challenge. So we want to be intentional about that. And so here's the statement that God could have used any method to share his message. But he chose us, and he has empowered us. And look at this passage here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so, that's why I love the church as well. So I want to take a look at this. And we talked about, I just kept teaching this last Sunday. In our membership class, our points of passion, our culture there, our mission field. Number one is Jerusalem would be my city, but for us, it's the river region. For us, it's the river region. Let me tell you why I'm saying the river region, because we have families here in our church that live in Prattville, that live in Millbrook, that live in Coast Hall, that live in Pine Level, that live in Montgomery, that live in Pike Road, that live all over in the Caldwell, which is showing up. And so we have families from all over. We're kind of a regional church there, maybe from Montgomery. And so the thing is we're going to a regional church. So we just say the river region is kind of our community. And so how do we reach our community? I want to invite John Bowman to come up. He's going to join me here. So, John, I want you to talk about the confidential mission on there. Kids show up,
get what Jesus did. He just loves all of you. That's all the church is. They come out of anything other than love all of you. And because of that love, that means we're high outside now as amongst the lowest. So that's proof that when everybody does their part, you know, things click and you see success. And I've seen it firsthand in the community.
Yeah. Amen. Sometimes it can be, you know, we can be critical and we want to, you know, pick out certain areas of the community. We want to, you know, belittle them, y'all, but we don't see the mission field. And somebody tells us, just 2 years, I remember years ago when I was in Dallas, Texas, there was an area of Dallas that was the same as a high crime rate. It was dangerous. The police didn't want to go down there. And I remember we went down to help with the churches in that area, close to that area. And we pulled in on a bus. The missionary who'd been working in that area, called Barnes or something, or whatever it was. And anyway, we pulled in and he said, you know, I've got to say that that's where he's going to go in. And he came to me, and I'm skeptical, I'm a huge company guy, you know. And he came to me and he said, I really feel like God is trying to confirm today that you guys are going to be opening into such and such area. And I'm like, we were talking about the GDS there, and the next 2 days, I go back home to all the parents and say, listen, you know, we're going to the area. If your kids are not going to go, then we got to our group, and it got cut in half. The next day, the parents didn't want the kids to go with them. And so, there were certain colors that you could wear, certain things you should do. And so he told me he had to get off the bus and go, and he goes and knock on a few doors, and all of a sudden, there was no kids, and all of a sudden, there were kids everywhere. And we do the GDS type deal there. You know, in the street, and we read the sense of gospel, and the kids made decisions there. But let me tell you, those parents, if I had my kids on the road. And it was part of them, and I won't go, you know, it's just amazing. There's this mission field. And there were people there, and so we'll never know if one of those kids may have made decisions. What if they went back to the community? What if they made a difference in the community? So you never know. All right, so let's talk about, you know, John, you're on the staff field with the police department, so. Personalize that a little bit. I mean, that's what we see, you know, kind of as a corporate look. But what about personalize?
Absolutely. And I remember one neighbor that, you know, they were really getting fit for a crime. My father asked them, I said, well, what can you do? But, you know, what can you do? That's actually not the point of the question to me. And I remember back in the 90s, around the area, in Montgomery, I came across for crime encounters, you know, this young man by the name of Joey. I had several encounters with him. I got to know him fairly well, based on the activity that he was doing. And, you know, at the time I went on, I met him several times and talked to him, actually some friends. I got transitioned over to investigations, and one of the very first investigations I went to, I walked in and found Joey Pitt. You know, it dawned on me later that I never shared Christ, but this is someone that God put in front of me, that I never shared Christ with. And, you know, from that point, I've got to change my perspective of the people that God puts in front of me. And, you know, through COVID, you mentioned COVID, baseball earlier, I took that as an opportunity to, and I tell parents, I said, we're here building a game of life. Not necessarily just about baseball or basketball. These kids learn so much more. And I poured into those radios, talked to them about Jesus. God opens that door. I started walking through it and realizing that, you know, God puts an opportunity to report, not just as a green farmer, but on the baseball field, at your work, at your neighborhood, if you make it on the wall, if you make it Burger King and order something, lay maybe movie, that's your opportunity, that's an open door for you to share Christ through offering and showing love. And, you know, I got involved with basketball, baseball, softball. And I got to fall in love with sharing Jesus, and, you know, I wanted to go into some type of ministry. While I was at the police department, I actually applied to go into some sports ministry, and nothing ever panned out, nothing ever came through. And God started working on my heart, and I realized that it wasn't, I didn't need to go to the church to be the ministry. The ministry that God called me to was the police department. It was my current job. That was where He had me. And about 10 years after Joey passed away, about 4 months from his house, I got a foster parent that had called me and was having problems with a foster kid. I went over there and I saw the opportunity. And right there, he was 4 months old. not about your house. It's about your neighbors, the people beside you, the people at work. You mentioned share there. Likewise, people, businesses have a part to do well. They can go outside of the business walls and share with that community. So that's kind of how that affects me personally and as a business. You know, you gave us a little on that. You never walk alone. Just talk about that, because the first you shared with you guys that I think will allow you to give a good example of how we can minister to people who work. You talked about the first you shared, we talked about the fruits and stuff. And so share with us how God made you that share with me. As I read, many of you think, it was a place for how we share Jesus with others. And, I mentioned one thing earlier. The business side of the police department, one thing we want to do is lower crime. I gave you two examples earlier that have lower crime. But in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. But at the end of it, it gives me the leeway to do what I do. It says, against such things, there is no law. Who's going to be against love? If you go to any community that's in trouble, there's one thing that they need is love. And that's, same way with Jesus and Mark chapter 12, they tried to give him up, the religious leaders. And he summarized the entire Bible in one word, that's love. He said, love God and love your neighbor. And I tell neighbors all the time, and I say the verse, I said, there's who's going to be against love? If an atheist wants to come to me and share love with them, which they're not, that's all what we're doing, and that's what he meant to be where they were, being in true love. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. fire department there. He's the chaplain of the fire department now. That all started because our mission team baked cookies and brownies and took them to the fire department and blessed them with that. And one of the ladies in our church, her husband was a firefighter. And so we have to make a vaccination. Let him be able to be a voice of the gospel to these men in the fire department there. So that's one thing we do. Step on a car, a guy in West Virginia who we invest in. He bought a whole school. A whole school, 150,000 square foot school, for $50,000, he put in a solid bid on this piece of property. And, you know, it's Bruce High School. And then he has turned that into a church that is reaching that community. They do basketball and different things. They're trying to reach that community up in the Appalachian Mountains there. And it's incredible. So let's look at the third one here. It says, the end of the earth, my world. And so, when you kind of look through here, you get to see some of the things that we've done, some of the investments that we've made. And if you can put that up step back up there now, if you would. And so, there's some of the different things that we've done, the ones that have to do with the world. Like, 2,489 new churches were started with 265,107 professions of faith in the Gospel League, which is a mission organization we invest in. Can you get your mind around that? Dude, that's awesome. That many churches, almost 2,500 churches were planted. Alright, so go to the next chapter there. 6,822 water wells are drilled in communities to clean water, and 21,000 learn how to read and write through that initiative we invested. That's a good return. I don't know about you guys, they can do investments, but that is a good investment, that is a good return. And then we invest in the North American Mission Board through the International Mission Board through our church. We invest in this and there's church planners all over the nation, even here in Alabama, that are planting areas, trying to make a difference with the gospel of Christ, share that with people, and to push back lost and darkness in our community. There's a passage here that says, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim his salvation day after day. Day after day, you have to proclaim. There is no one like our God. There is no one like Christ. And there is no way to have a right relationship with God except through Christ. So every day, we as a church, we as his followers, as his believers, we ought to go to God. How do we share this with people around? How do we build relationships with people and share this? It says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. What an awesome picture to realize that God said, listen, that's you guys. I want you declaring my story. I want you sharing my grace. I want you offering hope to the world. I want you to be on mission. I want you to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what we are. That's who we are. We are journey. We are mission. There's no getting around that. There's a couple steps in here that I want to challenge you to consider. Next step is that I'll commit to be on mission where God has strategically placed you. Don't see it as a dead-end job. Don't see it as, hey, I hate this town. But start saying, hey, you know what? God has me here for a reason. And so maybe they think, God, I want to change my mentality. God, I want to change my attitude. God, I want to change my perspective. God, I want to change me. And all of a sudden, you begin to look at where you are with purpose and with a passion. God, I want to make a difference. The second step, I will commit to go on a mission trip this year. I'll commit to go on a mission trip this year. This year, the first week of June, I think it is, or it's in June, I'll give you that. We have a team that we're trying to put together that will go to Brazil to help literally, physically build a church. We did that about 4 years ago. We went to Brazil, we raised money, we built a church. We got out of that. So the church already meeting there in the community. And so what CMU does is they partner with, and with the Brazilian network, and they partner with a church plant that already has a group of people that's already grown and thriving without facility. And then what we do is we come in and help build a facility where they have a place to meet. And the cool thing about it is that I think they buy the land, there's this ministry, this Christian mission that lives to help build a facility. It becomes a hub in that community. Unlike a lot of times here in our nation, you go there, it becomes a hub. And man, people from all over see it as a lighthouse in the community, and they will be a part of what's going on there. And so the churches are part of it. And so we have our future made, but you want to be a part of that. We got some other opportunities. We're working on that. Maybe go to West Virginia and work with Stephen Carr to go there and help him out. You know, maybe just do anything. Here's the thing. We want to do things here in our community. Maybe just go down to the Salvation Army and be life groups. You know, next week is life group rally. Get involved in life group. Every one of our life groups, we challenge them to be a part of some type of service get the fishing thing. They need to go feed down in the establishment. They need to go out and take it water to someone and take it food to someone. But the thing is, you see it, you go for a little mission. And then lastly, I'll commit to give so that someone else can give. That's always acceptable. You might say, well, I can't get off and go to a mission trip. Or, you know, I don't really can't afford to give. If you give $25, you give other people give $25, you know what? I'd like to go on a mission trip. There's some of you that can't go. Maybe physically you can't go. Maybe job-wise you can't go because of commitment. But if you can help someone else go, they can go. And I think God bless that. You know, I think about Mark's mom and dad. They're at age now. They're coming up into the mission trip. But you know what? Financially, you can invest with another one together. And here's the thing. You know, that's exactly what John said. It's the body working together. And everybody has their part. And so some of you guys have blessed you with the gift of giving. He's blessed you with the ability to bless others. And he's able to say, I want you to help support someone who can go, who can be the hands and the feet. And I want you to be able to support them and help them get there. And so that's something you can do. I want you to just pray about the thing. But I want you to understand, that's who we are as a church. We are a divisional church. We are an evangelical church. We have evangelism at the heartbeat. We don't know all of that. We just want you to know that's who we are. But here's the thing. If you're going to be a part of it, don't just sit back and say, okay, that's some of the church. No, no, no. We want to be that as a church, as a family of God, as the body of Christ. We want to be evangelical. We want to have that mentality. And it's not about these walls in here. It's not about this facility. It is about being a church and literally being on mission no matter where we go. We want to reach people with the life-changing message of gospel. You know, and we want to see people hear that gospel and go, man, that's what I want. That's what I need. Man, thank you for sharing with me. Or for somebody that's finally going to go, man, I've been looking for this all my life. I've never understood the gospel. But today I do. And today I realize, Lord, it's not about me fixing things myself. Jesus is the only one that can fix me. He is the only one that can heal me. He's the only one that can set me free. He's the only one that can change me. It's not me. It's me submitting and surrendering to Him. And then today I understand. And to hear that person say, man, I want to accept Christ. I want to be saved. I want to be part of the family of God. I want to go to heaven. Man, that'll motivate us. We ought to be excited about that. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And you say, God,